Blog Talk Radio.
Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Hello and welcome to the Reasonable Voices Blog Talk Radio, where politics is honest and art poignantly political. Today we're talking to Democratic candidate for Congress, Ed Marksberry, who is already running in the 2014 congressional election in Kentucky, challenging, wait for it, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Hello, Ed. How are you today?
Doing great, Marcel, and thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I love a man who loves a challenge. That's all I have to say. I want to go right to, you call yourself the working class guy, and tell me about that, because I really think there are a lot of people out there who just want to work, and all this talk and deficit and, you know, the junk going on in Congress. How do you feel? What do we need to save the middle class?
Well, that's a great question. In fact, you know, me being a working class guy who also happens to be deeply involved in politics his whole life, I grew up in it around my family. My great-grandfather was a county commissioner and had other family members that got involved in politics. So it's a little bit different for me. You know, I'm the kind of guy that when I go hang out with my buddies or friends and whatnot, they go, "Why do you care so much about politics?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "I could care less about politics." I said, "Well, open your wallet up, pull out your check stub, and let me show you how deeply you're involved in politics."
Yeah.
So I'm the kind of guy that can resonate with those that are not interested, because they look at me and they say, "Well, hey, this guy's one of us. I trust his opinions. They've seen how hard I work for other candidates that are the inner circles, the millionaires and whatnot, and they still can't figure out why I try so hard to get other people involved and to understand about how politics do affect your lives, your livelihood, your families, and for that matter, your family's futures." So it's easy for me, because this has been my hobby for years, if you want to call it, to be able to connect to the regular folks, the middle-class working folks, because I see how hard they struggle. I see what it's like to try to work, and you hit an age when all of a sudden your knees and your joints aren't as tough as they used to be, and they wonder, how could someone like Mitch McConnell want to cut back on their Social Security? So, you know, I have the life experience plus the political experience to bring it all together for those kind of folks that are disinterested or just tired of politics in general.
I understand and I hear you. I know you're an Air Force vet, and I have a quick military memory I want to share and then ask your opinion about where that leaves us now. When I went to basic, I was a day late for some reason, can't remember. But because I arrived a day late, the drill sergeant had everyone who had already ink-penned their names into their hangers, he had each one of them in the squad give me one of their hangers. So I had hangers with a different name on each thing, and knowing at the time that those guys were going, unlike me, I was off to sing with the Army Field Band in Maryland, but they were going to Vietnam. And all I remember about them is that only one of them had a college education, and they all had come from pretty humble backgrounds. And I thought, here they are, they're going off to fight this war. And I like one of the points you make in your your campaign videos about the poor kids going off to fight for the rich man's war. Dig into that a little for us and tell us, explain to us. That's another issue I think that everybody, Republican or Democrat, should be paying attention to, because it's happening to all of us. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a pretty deep subject, but just a couple pointers here. number one, any time before you decide to go to war, whether it's a small skirmish, and that's what our specialty, when I was in the 1st Special Operation Wing of the Air Force, we were considered air commandos. And at that time, we were providing training and reconnaissance over Nicaragua, Honduras, helping the Contras to fight off the Sandinistas. And if you ever read back of that, we, our President Reagan allowed some tremendous atrocities to happen to the poor folks, the peasants there. But that was when I first learned that the government can lie and will lie to the public about what they're doing in these clandestine or covert operations, all in the name of stamping out at that time communism. But getting back to today's wars, you know, back when we decided to go to war in Iraq, we can place the blame of a lot of our economic woes on them not paying for the war. It's different back in the World War II, where they put out war bonds and things like this. You know, at the time when you decide to go to war, first thing you got to ask, as Commander in Chief and those in Congress, what's this going to cost us in lives? What is this going to cost us in international reputation? And also, how are we going to pay for this? So when I brought out the lyrics, you know, about, you know, sending your sons and daughters to fight the rich man's wars, you can go back and really follow the money trail to why this war happened or that war happened. And of course, I'm not talking about World War II or anything, but just the example of what we did in Central America during that time. It wasn't about staving off communism. It was about controlling either the coffee plantations, the different things like that. So that's what I mean. We ask our sons and daughters to go fight the rich man's wars, but we do nothing for them when they come back home to reward them, whether it be a good-paying job to maybe helping out with a better role of coming back into society. And we've seen this with the Iraq and Afghanistan war. So that's pretty much what I was trying to let them know, that I understand that when Mitch McConnell makes a decision, that he's not thinking about your kids. He's thinking about the rich corporations that control and influence their decisions there in Washington, D.C. And it's just following the money trail.
And speaking of the money trail, I was just going to say, he's also raised $20 million to stay in office so he can continue to reward the rich at the expense of the less fortunate. And everyone should understand that the definition of middle class has changed. With so much unemployment and people looking for jobs, it's not like people get funny when you say, you have to help the poor or whatever. Well, you should help the poor, but now everybody's struggling. And so when you say help the poor, you really mean save the middle class as well. And I'm just, when I think of the education being squeezed, for instance, from both sides, on the one hand, college students are going to debt far more than ever before, and on the other side, the other bookend, it's people like Mitch McConnell cutting the education budget. What's with that?
Well, I think when you become a multimillionaire and you've been, I would guess, cushioned from what the realities are of trying to struggle to meet ends meet, you just become blindfolded to it. You take Kentucky, for example. We rank the lowest in a lot of things, but let's just talk about income. We're one of the poorest states out there. For every dollar we send to Washington, we get $1.75 back. Now, you add him and Rand Paul and the policies they're trying to change in the country. What are they trying to do to help these people get out of their economic doldrums they're in? They're taking away money that they need that they push directly back in the economy, whether it's a grocery store, the gas station, the car dealer down the ship, or the colleges. You know, I think that what's happened is that Mitch, when he first got up there, he was more of a progressive senator, right? If you go back and look back 25 years ago, to all of a sudden when he started seeing that it was all about raising money, and how do you raise that money? When you raise $20 million, it doesn't come from folks like you and me. It comes from those that have the money. And what's happened is that he is the poster child for what's wrong by government being influenced by money. And today, it's hard for someone like myself or anybody else to run in any type of office because how expensive it is. And what we're trying to do with our campaign is to really highlight that people should vote, not money. And what I mean by that, we have to do a better job of resonating out to the folks out there why you should vote for this working class guy. Number one, he's not beholden to Wall Street. He's not beholden to corporate interests. He's beholden to you because he is you. And my campaign isn't about Ed Marchbury. My campaign is about the working class, middle class folks. So if you're a working class or middle class folk out there, you're actually running for U.S. Senate against Mitch McConnell now, and I thank you for doing that.
That's a worthy cause. You know, it's true, though, Ed. I hear what you're saying, and I think that's the big message to everyone listening and all those who will listen. People are voting against their own interests, and we hear that a lot, and it sounds like an old, overused cliche, but it's true. I mean, corporates, if you live in a town or city or anywhere where the corporate stores are taking over the ma-and-pa stores and farmers can't deal with the climate change that some politicians deny even exists, and the elderly are afraid of the, you know, my mother and father had excellent insurance, but not everyone does. And health care for the elderly, for all of us, and if we just need someone with some common sense, and it seems to me you're that kind of guy.
Well, thanks for that. And that's all it takes. You know, this is simple. Back like you were talking about the poor that fight the rich man's wars. That has happened in Vietnam. We've seen what happened during Vietnam. We've seen what's happened in the past and in the future, too. And it's just a shame that they use these young fellows and young ladies and then don't provide them the support that they need, whether it be education or medical or helping them find a good paying job. And I'm a veteran myself, of course, and I like to hang out with the disabled American veterans groups around the country because these guys really work hard and they see what happens to people that have been in some really tough situations. You know, the majority of the homeless people are veterans and whatnot. So you go back and look at how a country treats its veterans says a lot about its countries itself. Where take Japan or any European countries, they really know when their veterans come back, or those that serve, that was such an honor that they really kind of roll out the red carpet for them in a way that we don't do. And I'd like to see that change. And that's one of the things, if I get elected, we're really going to work on the veterans' efforts and those disabled American veterans out there, because we've never seen the casualties and injuries like we've seen in the Iraq and Afghanistan war.
Yeah.
You know, these recruiters put out these great commercials and messages, but they really don't show the ballistics of what's really going on today out there. And it's a shame that Congress for so many years didn't do anything to put in the right equipment and everything for these folks out here fighting these wars. So, you know, you've got to really look at the main problem in any congressional race, and this is a U.S. senatorial race, I know you said congressional race earlier, is that the money that comes in usually comes from pharmaceutical, it comes from defense contractors, it comes from the corporations that no longer give full-time jobs. They cut their hours back. They cut their benefits back. And then you just said something a while ago about the health care. Some people can have it. A lot of people don't realize that I was denied health care coverage while I was running for Congress because of a minor pre-existing condition. Now here's the deal. It was going to cost us $11,000 a year if I could get the insurance coverage. Now, a lot of people don't see that cost because maybe they work somewhere where their employee is paying 75% or better. You know, I wish that we all had the same coverage that Congress has. But again, my point there is it wasn't so much I was for the Affordable Care Act, not knowing at the time it would affect me to where I'd be able to get coverage. But here's the thing that I said 3 years ago, and I say it today. If you want to help the economy out, if you want to make the biggest bang for your buck, we have got to address the skyrocketing cost of health care. There's no reason it should cost twice or four times as much as other industrialized nations. And also, when it comes to the quality of care, We ranked like 52nd, I think, right after Slovenia. And I didn't even know where Slovenia was when I heard that report. But it's a perfect example. Why are we not getting more? You know, we should have health care that's four times less and four times better. So, you know, that's another issue that we have.
I'm going to, excuse me, Ed, I'm going to just have to jump in to give our sponsor a moment here. But we'll be right back with Ed Marksberry, who is running for the U.S. Senate against Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. We'll be right back.
And now, another film rental discovery. Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Here are Julianne Moore, Dennis Haysbert, Patricia Clarkson, Dennis Quaid, and Viola Davis. All are rock star actors contributing to a very special film written and directed by Todd Haynes. There is a studied beauty to the illusion of a perfect world in 1950s America conjured up by Far From Heaven. It's awash in golden fall colors and pristine suburban houses as beautiful as those who live in them. Perfect on the surface, but on the inside? We find ourselves exploring what all that perfection hid behind its doors in that age of great hope. Racism, inequality of the sexes, the repression of homosexuality. Slowly and painstakingly, the thin surface of grace is peeled back to expose the damage done by intolerance. America in the 50s, one small step in our continuing maturity. This is a rich film, made more so by mature direction and stellar acting performances by all. As a society, we like to think we have grown beyond this stylized but seemingly accurate portrait of an earlier era. But if so, why does Far From Heaven feel so poignantly relevant today? Indie Film Minute. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to a senatorial candidate, Ed Marksberry, who is already in the running for 2014 election against Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. And Ed Marksberry is known as the What About Us guy, the working class guy. And Ed, I'm just wondering, you know, when you talk about corporations, their income is up and the military, the middle class income is down, what can you do about that as in the Senate?
First thing you got to do is stop the bleeding of jobs. You know, when they encourage corporations to send their manufacturing jobs overseas by giving them tax credits, that's wrong. You know, we've got the best working citizens of any country out there. We know what it's like to work hard, and what they're finding, a lot of these companies that have sent their jobs overseas, a lot of them are now starting to come back because of the issues of quality and whatnot. First thing you do is you stop the bleeding of jobs. The other thing is we've got to be more innovative in new technologies, whether it's the energy, renewable energy, whether it's the biopharmaceutical field. We've got to look at get not only corporations but the universities to work together on maybe cleaner energy technologies right now. You know, I'm in the coal belt part of the country, and it's really scary for those in eastern Kentucky that are losing their jobs because of all the fracking that's going on with the natural gas explosion. And I told him, I said, you know what, we've got some problems here, but here's the deal. Fracking's not the answer either. We're seeing a lot of pollution that comes from that's going to be damaging for our water systems for years. What I would like to see is the innovative and the mindset that, yes, America can do better. We can come up with the new technologies that Europe or China wants to steal from us in the future. That seems like that's the only thing China can do. But we can do that, but it's got to take initiative from leadership that they're so scared that they're going to offend their corporate interests by maybe taxing them a little bit more to find the money to fund this research. And, you know, it's got to take true leadership to not just talk about today's economy, but the economy from 5 years to 50 years down the road. And the only way I know to do that is to encourage innovation and to give it the roots to grow off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not to mention healthcare costs.
Exactly. And fossil fuels. And I just wonder, you coined the phrase, I know I'm doing a right turn on you, but you coined the phrase domestic arms race. Can you tell us what you mean about that?
Yeah, that's a simple one. You know, the assault weapons that they, you know, they were talking about in the latest bill with the background checks just to make it more safer for the public. But I don't call them assault weapons. I call them slaughter guns, because anybody that's ever been in the military can tell you that these are not your regular type of rifles or pistols. And what I mean by the domestic arms race is that whenever the assault weapons ban ran out when under Bush's watch, you see this explosion where people were going out finding the bigger, more powerful, how many bullets can I put in this magazine clip, to where all of a sudden now I got to have a 10-round magazine. Now I need a 30-round magazine. Oh, my buddy down the street's got a 150-round magazine. To me, when is it going to stop, this domestic arms race? You know, if, and here's the other thing. We used to buy a pistol for home protection, maybe, or a hunting rifle to hunt with or sporting events, shotgun for home protection out in the rural areas. And there are parts of the country, trust me, that you don't want to go unarmed. I've been there. But these were something that, and I'll give you a perfect analogy of it. I was helping, we was at an event, a bowling alley. I had a young nephew that's fixing to go off to fight the rich men's wars again. He's been both Afghanistan and Iraq, and I can't tell you where he's going next, but I'm sure it'll show up in the news. But he was telling me something where he'd heard on Fox News that Obama's trying to take away his weapons. And I said, no, that's not what that's about. I said, he's trying to help ban these assault weapons. And I turned to the front door. I said, you see that front door? Guy come running in here right now with an AK-47. That's the only thing we got to protect ourselves with is these two 12-pound bowling balls. I said, now, if that guy come running in here with a pistol, I think that maybe a few of us might be able to take him down before he gets all of us. I said, but with an assault rifle, none of us stand a chance here. I said, there's certain people out there, you don't want these guns in their hands. And that gets back to the next question. He says, well, what do you think about Obama taking away our ammunition? I'm like, this is what I have to do with these people that are kind of brainwashed. I always like to put my hand on their shoulder, look them in the eye, say, stop watching Fox News.
Yes, that's the first step. Absolutely.
Yes. But but there's so much misinformation and fear-mongering that comes down from not only places like Fox News, our own Senator Mitch McConnell. He is the worst at that. If there's anything I like to call him, I'm going to coin a new phrase right here. Here in Kentucky, the state of the Commonwealth of Kentucky has a state seal that shows two gentlemen facing each other, and it says around the state seal, united we stand, divided we fall. Those two gentlemen facing each other in the middle of the state seal, one of them is Daniel Boone, who we know is a great frontiersman.
Yeah.
The other one is Henry Clay, who we in Kentucky know as the great compromiser. Now, what I would like to coin Senator McConnell as, the great obstructionizer.
Yes. Yes, that is excellent. That does seem to be, and I mean, he wears that mantle with some degree of aplomb. I just don't know why he seems... I once said to someone, if you're guaranteed of a job on K Street after you leave Congress, you feel comfortable saying whatever you want to say. I don't know what the issue is with Mitch McConnell, but it seems to me he is standing for the wrong things and proud of it. Which brings me back to you identifying yourself, and I'm so impressed with this, as the what about us, because that us seems to me to be about everybody in America who's trying to survive, to succeed, to get along, to make a living, to support their family. What does what about us, who are those people, what about us?
It's everybody that's out there today that is doing exactly what you said. They just want a decent job. They want to know that they can raise a family, have a decent education, have decent, affordable, accessible health care, and also to look into the retirement years, know that there will be that safety net for them. We're not asking for much. Of course, we need rich people and big corporations. We love rich people and big corporations. They do help provide the jobs. But every once in a while, when that balance gets tilted so far the other way, we have to stand up and ask for not what's fair, because they will never go that route with us, but just throw us a couple of bones at least. But, You know, and that's what happens. When it tilts so far, that's where people like myself have to stand up and say, listen, if we don't do this ourselves, who will help us out? And that's why the song, it was so easy for me to write that song. It was probably the fastest, easiest song I ever wrote because it's out there everywhere you look. I can go out here and the first 10 people I talk to, I can say, how are you doing? How's your income? Are you worried about your future? And I guarantee you, all 10 of them, they're a little scared right now. They don't see leadership that's providing that encouragement or what they feel like is a solid ground that they can stand on. And I've always said this, it's easy to create fear. It's harder to create hope. And it's the same thing I say about the conservative Republican leadership out there. They got the easiest job in the world. All they got to say is no. Where we who are trying to help out others, it's tough. It's harder to try to help out others other than yourself. It is the toughest, but the rewards are so much greater when at the end of the day when you realize that you reached out to help someone else, that someday when you need that help, someone will be there for you as well.
And that's the closest definition to, I think, what America's about at its core and what Americans want. I mean, we are generous people. I just think we need to, as you say, we don't expect the rich to throw us a bone. We've got to realize we need each other. They are perhaps the innovators and the financial support to make things happen, but we certainly are the workforce, and if we work together, that's what United We Stand is all about, I think. But I want to, before, because we have to go pretty soon, but Ed, I know any campaign needs to have financial support. And I wonder, is there a place where, you know, a website you can tell us about or a telephone number where people can go to find out more about you and perhaps make a contribution to your campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking that. Best thing to do, and plus you can download our song or video. It's called What About Us, and I think a lot of people will enjoy the song that I wrote. But just go to my website. It's Marksberry2014.com.
Let me spell that for everybody.
Marksberry2014.com. I used to tell people when they didn't know how to spell Marksberry, I said, just think of the wine. And they go, oh, yeah, I've had that wine before. And I go, well, I was just making that up. But anyway, and here's the fun thing, too. We encourage people to send us emails with their thoughts and ideals because this campaign isn't about Ed Marksberry. It's about us. And I want your encouragement, your ideals, and, hey, we may come up with another song where we might put out there where we'll let people put in their own one-liners and stuff like that because we want to give ownership back to the people in the campaign.
Excellent. Well, I can't think of a better note to end on than that, Ed. Do you have an email address where we can send these emails to you?
Yes, it's right there on the website. It's marksberry2014.com. But here's what I'd ask everybody. Please go to the website. Several things there. It's got other information about us. It has our address if you'd like to mail checks. It's got a real easy donate button if you'd like to do it over the Internet. Or if you want to, there's a phone number down there at the bottom. I always forget it. Excuse me for that. And you can call anytime, and I'd love to talk back with anybody who'd like to hear more from me. And, Marcel, before we go, I really love your show, and I love it that you are one of the other bright lights out there that are trying to get out the information that people need to know about what's going on in politics today without having to worry about the influence of money.
Well, I appreciate that. I thank you for that compliment. And you, Ed Marksberry, at 2014.org, is that correct?
.com. Well, I think we got a .org. We bought up just about every domain. If you just put in there Ed Marksberry for Senate, that'll work. But Marksberry2014.com is the shortest version.
Yes, and I just want to say that you are the man. You are making us realize that it is all about us, and if we just stop fighting one another and stick together and work together, We're going to elect people like you, first of all, and that's going to begin the change to save the middle class.
Absolutely.
I want to say we need to go now, but thank you so much to Ed Marksberry, running for the Senate in the 2014 election, and he's running from Kentucky, and we hope there's a big victory in this, a big, big victory. We all need to listen and find out how we can work together. Thanks for being with us today, everyone, and be sure to check out Ed Marksberry's YouTube video, What About Us?, because it's all about you and me. In the studio today with me for artistic and technical support was Mr. Bernard Hankins. This has been the Reasonable Voices Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Marcello Rolando. We'll see you next time, and please recommend us to your friends. Thank you, Ed, and thank you, everyone else. Bye now.